Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I trust that God is keeping you, watching over you, providing for you, meeting your needs. I assure you that God is a Father that loves you. He sees your diligence. He sees your consistency. He sees your hunger to know Him. And I assure you, anyone that is hungry after God, God is able to meet. God is equal to the hunger that we have for Him. The Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. His eyes are always searching to see whose heart is inclined towards God. God's eyes are roaming towards the earth, to and fro, up and down, looking for someone who He will strengthen. And if you're looking for strength from on high, you will find it today in the Word of God. You see, God has never been about the numbers. At times we get confused by numbers of people, we get confused by numbers of crowds. We think that the popular is the one that is accepted. We think that the popular is the one that is anointed. We think the popular is the one that God's hand is on. And this is really a challenge that we human beings at times struggle with. Yet we forget that Jesus said, the road to heaven is narrow and few find it. But the road that leads to destruction is broad and many are on it. That is to tell you that not everywhere there is a crowd, it means that they're going to heaven. Because broad is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and few find it. So God has never been about the numbers. He has been about faithfulness. And we can see even today as we look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we will be able to draw such a lesson. And ideally, the question is, can you evangelize with the same enthusiasm that you evangelize to a city? Can you evangelize to one? And for me, it's just amazing when you draw the comparison between Philip evangelizing to the city of Samaria. And ideally, as I said, they were originally Jews. And the Bible tells us that the Jews seek for signs. But we are told that the Greeks seek for wisdom. Ideally, there are two kinds of people. There are those that are seeking for miracles and wonders. And God is meet. God is equal for them to meet. But you see, the Bible tells us that signs are for unbelievers. Ha ha. That means that when you have believed, there is no need for God to give you a miracle for you to believe in Him. You can believe Him. Miracle or no miracle, you know God. You have certain assurance that God is real. Why do you think miracles are common in crusade grounds? Because there is so much unbelief. And thus, a sign is needed. Miracles are needed for them to believe. But you see, those that know God, then what God wants you to know is to know Him deeper, the knowledge of knowing Him. Now compare it with this other side, the Ethiopian eunuch. He has the characteristics of a Greek because the Greeks seek for wisdom. And this man, the Bible tells us that he was reading the book of Isaiah. Look at this man who is, ideally, when someone was a eunuch, actually, just if you look at demographically, the Bible tells us he's from Ethiopia. Ethiopia was a kingdom that was a Nubian kingdom that was just below the Aswan, in the Aswan area, just below Egypt. That is to tell you that this was someone that had possibly black complexion. He was of Africa, but he was a proselyte. Who is a proselyte? A proselyte was someone who had converted from one faith to another. And this is someone who had converted to the Jewish faith, And remember, God, even in the time of the Israelites, had allowed the Gentiles to also join themselves to the Lord. Now, this man had many things that were working against him. Number one, he was a eunuch. Remember, the gospel had said that, actually, let's start with the foreigner. He was a foreigner, not the gospel, that the Jewish law had hindered foreigners from having access to certain places in the temple. I mean, they could worship in the outer court, and so he was already limited from having a certain access to the presence of God, in the worship of God. And number two, also, he was a eunuch. And when you are a eunuch, of course, historians tell us it could mean either he was a high official, a treasurer in the Queen Candace, but also he was one that was emasculated. That means he had been castrated, and a eunuch that was castrated, any castrated person was not allowed as well also to access a certain place in the Judaistic faith, in the Jewish faith. So the eunuch and the foreigner were limited from accessing the presence of God. But you see, there was a promise. And this is why when you read the word, when you study the word, God can be able to show you unique things about it. There was a promise in Isaiah 56, verse 3 to 5, where the Bible says, "Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord has utterly separated me from his people,' nor let the eunuch say, 'Here I am, a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath," who is the Lord of the Sabbath? Jesus. "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant," who please God and hold fast to the covenant, to the new covenant, "even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name." Remember, what is the promise for believers? That you shall be in the house of God, you shall be made pillars, you shall be stones in the house of God, you shall be given a new name. Remember the blessings in Revelation. Now God is saying, even to them, even to the eunuchs, even to the foreigners, to those who say they are a dry tree, but they have kept my Sabbaths, they have chosen what pleases me, they have held fast to my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that they shall not be cut off." They shall not be cut off. God is promising there is a greater blessing than sons and daughters, and that is an everlasting name, and that shall not be cut off. And also, verse 6, "Also the sons of the foreigner who joins himself to the Lord and serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant," verse 7, "even them I will bring to my holy mountain," that is Zion, "and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel," here speaking of the Samaritans, "says, 'Yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him.'" And Samaritans, the Gentiles. Remember, the Jews thought the Messiah was for them alone. And that is why they will keep marveling to date. Why? Remember how the Peter were wondering how the gift of the Holy Spirit was also given to the Gentiles. And he said, then who can forbid them from being baptized? Because the same Holy Spirit that fell upon us on the day of Pentecost has fallen too upon them. Now back to the book of Acts and Philip evangelizing to this eunuch. So Philip was fulfilling prophecy. He was fulfilling obedience that God had already promised. You know, I am going to reach out to the foreigners. I am going to reach out to the eunuchs. The eunuchs should not say, I am just a dry tree. There is a blessing for them that is far beyond what they can think of. Now, the Bible tells us, Acts chapter 8, verse 26, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Now, I want to pause there. I want you to picture this. Philip was preaching in Samaria. The city was rejoicing. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostles came. A revival was happening. And God says, leave that now. How many pastors are ready to leave their congregations, to leave churches they have planted and to go and start again? Very few. Only those who are obedient to the word of God. Can you evangelize to one? Or you'd rather choose evangelizing to the crowd? He was sensitive to the voice of God. He was obedient to the angel of the Lord. And that is why success in ministry is not measured in numbers. It is about, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you one, you brought another. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you five, you brought another five. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you two, you brought another two. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you one, you hid it and did nothing with it. Wicked and lazy servant. The numbers, 1, 2, 2,000, depending on the capacity that God has given you, God shall judge your faithfulness to them. God shall judge your faithfulness. Now, Philip, the angel of the Lord, tells him, go south on the road that leads to Gaza. And he is going to a desert. He has left Samaria, where the crowds are rejoicing, where everyone is hearing him, where everyone is believing, where people are being baptized, where people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes down that road. The Bible tells us the angel tell him, go and overtake that chariot. You know, a chariot is something that is moving very fast. Maybe, you know, I would think if it was a camel, okay, well and good. Maybe camels move slowly. But you can think a chariot is a horse or a carriage that is being pulled. And the Bible tells us that he is told by the Spirit, go and overtake that chariot. So the Bible tells us he runs. And as he runs, he hears. Can you imagine someone is running next to a chariot and is hearing what the man is reading? And he asks, he finds the man reading the book of Isaiah. And you can see how this man was seeking for truth. He has already read, or he has read prior. He's a convert. He has come from worshiping in the temple. Remember, they had come for Pentecost. Remember, there were three main, you know, festivals that people will come for. Pentecost, you know, Passover, Pentecost, and the ingatherings. Now, they're coming. And he's finished all those processions. Maybe he had missed He had missed the Pentecost. He had missed the part where the outpouring had happened. He had missed the message. But you see, God is also after the one. And he asks, do you understand what you are reading? Verse 31. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Oh God, may you give us teachers. May you give us the Holy Spirit to understand the word. May you give us grace to know the truth. The Bible says, and the place in the scripture that he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation from his life? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. I tell you, when you're preaching to one, even to a crowd, you need to find out where they are. You need to understand where is their level of belief. What you share with one is different from what you'll share with another. The same message has to be led by the Spirit of God. And that is why it is called Spirit-led evangelism. That means the Holy Spirit must be able to guide you to understand where a man is. And the Bible says, beginning with this very scripture. That means that every scripture is written for our benefit. You can use any scripture to start with it and point people to Christ. Remember, the Old Testament is a pointing finger to Christ. You can use Noah and teach Christ. You can use Joseph and teach Christ. You can use David and teach Christ. You can use Moses and teach Christ. Point people to Christ. And he said, he explained Jesus. Then the Bible says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. That means he had believed. He had the message of that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible says, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That means that the message that Philip preached is what? Look here, the person that the prophet is speaking about is Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of God. What is the Son of God? The Son of God is meaning he is God in flesh. It is a title. He is God who came as a man. We believe in him. And we believe that he came to redeem us. And since we have put our faith in him, we are worshiping the true God who came as a man for the sake of man, to redeem man that we might be made sons of God. And verse 38 says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, spiritual transporter, caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I'll challenge you to get a map of a Bible study guide and look at the map of the ministry of Philip. You'll see how he starts in Jerusalem. He goes north towards Samaria. Then he comes down towards Gaza. Gaza was the last place, the watering place where the animals would water, the camels would water before entering into the desert, going to Egypt. Then the Spirit of the Lord carries him all the way to Azotus, which he starts going up, and then he preaches through all those cities, Lydda, all the way to Caesarea, where he stays. Now that is to tell you that this was a man who was not focused on numbers. He was focused on preaching Christ. He was focused on preaching Christ to the numbers, to the cities, to the one. It was about obedience to God. Our question is, are we faithful in the little? Are we faithful in the little that God has placed in our hands? Are we faithful even when no one else is there? Even when we are alone, are we faithful? God is looking for faithful men. God is looking for faithful men and women. I pray that God will give us more insight into this. Yes, there is an aspect of baptism. I've shared a message recently on water baptism. You can listen to that. And also, I'll also share another message that we did in the past on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I'd ask you to also listen to that again. It's called Witnesses for Christ. And by that, you can be able to gain much more than what I've shared today about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Pray that God will bless his word and be glorified. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We honor your holy name. We magnify you, Lord. May your hand and power be upon us. May your presence be upon us. May your spirit be upon us, O God. I pray for faithfulness on your children, diligence to stay and to be found in the place of their assignment, be it in numbers, be it in the crowd, be it in one, the diligence to know that you are on the throne and nothing defeats you. Nothing is beyond your power. You are in control. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We honor you, we trust in you, and we depend on you. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.